Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, we're going to kick off our weekly legislative update a little early here on this show. Of course, coming up in the 9 o'clock hour every Thursday, we kick it off with Senate President Matt Regeer, the Republican leader out of Kalispell, Montana. He kicks it off every Thursday. And then we're joined by the Democrat House Minority Whip, Jonathan Carlin, Representative Jonathan Carlin out of Missoula. Let's see. So that's coming up in the 9 o'clock hour. But we're going to do a little bit of a legislative update here in the 8 o'clock hour of the show as well. A couple of different things we're going to talk about. Later, around 8:40, Liam McCollum is going to join us. Great guy. I had first met him a few years ago. We were doing our show live from Missoula, and I had seen, you know, some commentary he was providing on Twitter at the time and X now, looking at things from a more libertarian perspective. So he's one of the good libertarians out there. Some of these libertarians, I think they're just Democrat Party plants, kind of like what James Carville was talking about. They're just Democrat Party operatives that are simply trying to divide the conservative slash libertarian movement. Liam, he truly is, I think, principled. And he had a podcast at the time. He was just a college student at UM. But anyway, one bill that he wants to talk about is a bill called Defend the Guard. Defend the National Guard in particular. You guys have seen it, you know, in the post 9/11 environment. You've seen where basically, you know, you've had National Guard troops have been on deployment after deployment after deployment after deployment. And people are raising the question, well, wait a minute, you know, what is, you know, in these forever wars, why is Congress not fulfilling their duty here and actually, you know, stepping in here and actually declaring war, et cetera. And so anyway, we're going to talk. It's been a while since we've had the Defend the Guard conversation, but we'll get to that coming up here later on this hour of the show. And then this one is very interesting. Well, first, big picture, there's an organization called the Montana Medical Freedom Alliance, and they started up, when was this? Maybe last year, maybe the year before, a new organization that's bringing a conservative voice to healthcare professionals here in Montana. And so, yeah, they just launched prior to the legislative session, what they focus on is medical freedom, bodily autonomy, and returning to the Hippocratic Oath, the sanctity of life, true informed consent, and this one, removing mRNA shots from the market and preventing censorship in healthcare as well. So this is the Montana Medical Freedom Alliance. The bill, House Bill 371, which would ban mRNA vaccine in humans, just passed out of the House Judiciary Committee. I believe, let's see, was it yesterday morning? It's now passed out of the House Judiciary Committee, and then they're going to have what they think may be a tough vote on the floor of the House. So we've got a guest who's going to join us here right after the break. We're going to have Aaron Laws with the Montana Medical Freedom Alliance on the show right after this.
Securing America.
The House Armed Services Committee held a hearing Wednesday on protecting American interests in an era of convergent threats, which the hearing chairman, Republican Mike Rogers of Alabama, described this way.
The most challenging threat environment since World War II.
Much of the focus was on the growing alliance between China, Russia, North Korea, and Iran, which led to this warning from Democrat Adam Smith of Washington.
We have a group of adversaries that are coming together with the common purpose, basically, of reducing the influence of the U.S. in the world.
Witness Dr. Merrick Carlin of Johns Hopkins University testified that the U.S. holds one big advantage.
America's unparalleled network of allies and partners sets it apart from every other great power in history.
Rogers advocated for increased military spending and added,
the decisions we make in the months ahead could be the difference between war and peace.
Keeping the rescue, Fox News.
Guy Fieri, how do you pronounce that guy's name? Either way, he says this is Montana's number one restaurant. Where is it? Which restaurant is it? We've got the answer. Go to MontanaTalks.com. I've been there, and man, do they have some really good burgers and fries, too. All right, what else do we got for you? A whole host of stuff. What was the coldest Montana town this week? Plus, this one's interesting. You can look at old Bozeman stuff that isn't there anymore after all the change. MontanaTalks.com.
Out here in the middle of all these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. And sometimes, that's how it feels when you're going through tough times. Trouble sleeping, your mind racing. So what do? We get help. There are people in our community who are here for us. Sometimes, just talking to someone can make all the difference in the world. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. That's loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
News Talk 970 and 103.3 FM KBUL. Your home for Fox News, Hannity, Bongino, and Montana Talks with Aaron Flint. This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Great to have Aaron Laws, the founder and president of the Montana Medical Freedom Alliance, on the show with us here this morning. Aaron, it's great to have you on the show. Before we start talking House Bill 371, first off, tell our listeners across Montana about this new organization.
Yeah, hi. Thanks a lot for having us on today. We are a group of healthcare professionals in Montana that are trying to bring integrity back to care. We feel like medicine in general has kind of gone far to the left, and a lot of the organizations do not portray our values anymore. And so we are a group, our board has two nurses, a physician, a pharmacist, a retired counselor, and a retired optometrist. And we're just wanting to represent all healthcare professionals in the state. And just trying to bring integrity back. So we focus on medical freedom and bodily autonomy issues. We're trying to bring back the Hippocratic Oath, and under that would be sanctity of life issues. So we've come out strong for this physician-assisted suicide bill that is actually life, protecting those at the end of their life. And then we're also really passionate about helping minors who have been kind of caught up in this gender ideology and maybe have done transitioning. And so we have an upcoming bill on that. And then we also are wanting to prevent censorship in healthcare, because we all saw that that was a huge problem during the COVID pandemic.
Yeah, COVID-19, the craziness, the stupid policies, the stupid mandates really exposed, shall we say, the pre-existing conditions in our healthcare industry, where not only did some of these radical left-wing medical, so-called medical organizations want to conduct these crazy procedures and, you know, chopping up kids' body parts in the name of the radical transgender agenda. And then, of course, we see what they do with their no limits abortion. But they also wanted to force pro-life doctors or people or doctors or other nurses, et cetera, who didn't want to take part in these, you know, chopping body parts off of kids' procedures, they wanted to say, no, you have to do it. And they were trying, so they were trying to force them to do these outrageous procedures. Your thoughts, Aaron?
Hi, Aaron. I somehow lost my connection to Teams.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, I'll tell you what, hold that thought, because I think we've got Christy, I think we've got Dr. I think we've got Dr. Christy Drivedahl Smith on the phone lines. I hope I pronounced the doctor's name right there. Yeah, I think our producer might have accidentally hit the mute button there by mistake. So we'll get that. Oh, I got to unmute it now. Somehow I got muted there for you there, Aaron Laws. So you should be hearing me again. Let's go to our phone lines. We've got Dr. Christy. Is it Drivedahl Smith? Thanks for being with us.
Yes, it is. Thank you. Good morning.
Yeah, good morning. So, yeah, I had a little technical snafu there for a second, but we'll get more with Aaron Laws here in just a moment. But, yeah, we were talking about how COVID-19 and the crazy mandates really exposed all these other pre-existing conditions that were wrong with our healthcare system.
Right. So, you know, medicine had become a top-down type of an organization rather than being in the patient room with the doctor and patient making a shared decision, an informed decision. So all of a sudden, we had this crisis and we had governments, regulators, hospital administrators telling doctors how they were going to practice medicine and mandating experimental shots, for instance. And the shared decision-making was no longer part of the equation. It was you do as I say, and there was really no informed decision because at the time, these were rolled out under emergency use authorization, which they continue today as such, and doctors really didn't know all of the immediate harms, short-term harms, long-term harms. Now we clearly see that these weren't as billed.
Yeah, and that takes us to House Bill 371, which would ban the mRNA vaccine in humans. Apparently, this bill has passed out of the House Judiciary Committee in Helena and is up for a House floor vote later today. Is that right? And we've got about a minute before our next break, and then we'll come back to both of you after that as well, if you've got time.
Yes, that's right. It passed, thankfully. And we would ask all of your listeners, if you care about this issue, which is so important, that you would contact your representative and let them know that you would like to see this pass the House.
If in about 20 seconds or so, and like I said, we can talk more after the break, in about 20 seconds, why would you say we need to ban the mRNA vaccines?
Well, first of all, we now know that these shots are not effective. In fact, they have a negative efficacy. So the more shots you get, the more likely you are to get COVID. These shots come with a multitude of possible serious harms, including myocarditis, cardiac arrest, cerebral cancers, immune suppression,
All right, hold that thought. We'll come back to you right after this hard break. Stand by.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
Too many people, including some who should know better, describe international trade flows as if they were like plumbing and water pipes. That's not just oversimplifying, it's misleading, and it takes more than a few breaths of air to explain why. One of the most important differences between economic flows between countries and those of liquids and pipes is the different currencies involved. When we buy imports from foreigners, they receive the dollars we pay them, which they can then use to buy the exports we sell. When those flows are not in balance, as the trade deficit of the U.S. demonstrates, that leaves excess dollars in the hands of foreigners. What happens at that point is varied, and it has nothing to do with plumbing. Too many dollars make them cheaper, yielding a weaker dollar. But the most common use of excess dollars is to invest them in American capital. In fact, a trade deficit can only be maintained if the so-called capital account surplus goes with it. It's a beneficial side of trade deficits that few people notice. I'm Patrick Bark.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
I'm Chad Pergram with the Speaker's Lobby. Democrats are doing what they can to counter President Trump. They've protested outside of federal agencies, which are closed down. They've held the Senate in session all night to contest the confirmation of Budget Director Russ Vogt. Democrats used to have only one target. That was President Trump. Quote, "They have no rudder. They have no vision. They have no clear leader," observed House Speaker Mike Johnson. "The only message they have is anti-President Trump." but opponents evolve. The archenemy of Batman was always the Joker, but the Penguin, Riddler, and Catwoman were worthy foes too. And Democrats now have a new nemesis in Elon Musk. Democrats are peppering him with inflammatory rhetoric. Democratic Massachusetts Representative Ayanna Pressley called Musk a, quote, godless, lawless billionaire. Democratic New Jersey Representative LaMonica McIver declared, quote, we will not take this blank from Donald Trump and Elon Musk. Quote, he is a low-down, dirty, no-good person that, along with President Trump, cannot be trusted, said Democratic California Representative Maxine Waters. With the Speaker's Lobby, Chad Pergram, Fox News.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, we'll get back to Aaron Laws with the Montana Medical Freedom Alliance here in just a second. But first, let's pick up where we left off talking with Dr. Christy Drivedahl-Smith about House Bill 371 in the Montana legislature, which would ban the mRNA vaccine in humans. Doc, you were talking about, you know, all the problems we know that are very well documented with that I just call it that stupid COVID shot. It was just so outrageous that they were forcing this upon people. I just saw J.D. Vance, Vice President J.D. Vance, has a family member, a little girl who has an urgent medical surgery that she needs to go through, and they're denying her care because she didn't get the stupid COVID shot. Talk more about why you believe that the COVID shot, particularly the mRNA so-called vaccine, is such a danger.
Right. Okay. And that is such a tragedy. She actually needs a heart transplant, and this has been going on, where these transplant centers have denied somebody a life-saving organ transplant. So it really is a crime. The latest thing over the last year, it's been discovered that these shots are contaminated with DNA. And this was something that happened during the manufacturing process. They used E. coli plasmids to amplify the amount of messenger RNA, and they weren't able to get rid of all of these. And so each shot literally has hundreds of billions of strands of DNA. And this also, in the Pfizer shot, includes what's called simian virus 40 DNA, which is a piece of DNA that can turn on oncogenes, or genes within the cell that can lead to cancer. So we need to get these shots off the market. They should have been retracted by regulators a long time ago, but they are captured and conflicted, and they're not doing their jobs. So we as a state need to stand up and regulate our own health care.
And you're a doctor in Miles City, Montana, is that correct?
That's right.
Yeah, that's great. All right. We always love to include the Montana connection because we could get some of these national doctors and physicians on the show all day long as well. But it's even better to get this great information straight from some of our Montana doctors, especially because we know so many of them get pressured or intimidated to stay silent, when I know so many of them have wanted the ability to speak out at least more freely in the past several years. That's why it's so great to see an organization like this Montana Medical Freedom Alliance up and running. Let's go back to Aaron Laws, who is the founder and president of the alliance. Aaron, I understand there is a House floor vote on this later today, and I think you're saying it could be a close vote.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be today. We don't have the date yet. It could be tomorrow. I'm guessing it's going to be early next week. And I do think it's going to be a close vote. There are still a lot of people who don't know the harms of this COVID vaccine. They actually, I think I heard 23% of the American population is still getting these vaccines.
And so it's just going to be, we're just trying to educate as much as we can and so they know the right way to vote on this.
So one good question to play a little devil's advocate here. I know Jeff Essman kind of threw this question out on X with a tweet when this bill first came up kind of for discussion. One of the questions was, well, what about in the medical freedom and the right to try standpoint? Look, we don't want to get this COVID shot. We didn't want to be forced to get it, right? But maybe some people are saying, why would we not allow somebody else to get it if they want to? So how do you respond to those questions?
Christy, do you want to respond to that?
Yeah,
let me throw that to the doctor. Hold on 1 second. Let me cue her back up. Yeah, go ahead, doc.
Okay, so, right, every medical decision, every single one needs to be made with information present. And you decide for yourself what is the best recourse for you. But unfortunately, in this case, this is a failed product. It's a dangerous product. And so how could any physician recommend this to their patient? And yet, we are seeing that people are still getting boosters. This shot has been added to the childhood vaccination schedule starting at 6 months of age. So the American College of OBGYN has recommended it to pregnant patients. And they are trusting. These are the most vulnerable people. They're pregnant. They have newborn babies. They are trusting their doctors. And yet, these are dangerous products. We know now that they can cause serious harm. And we know now that they don't do any good. There was a study recently released in children around 4 years of age, up to 4 years of age. And the kids that got injected were 2.5 times more likely to have symptomatic COVID infection as the kids that didn't get injected with this shot. So you can't have a right to try of a dangerous product that should not be on the market and you don't have enough information.
Well, especially when we're talking about, you know, healthy kids, and oftentimes there's been so much propaganda where people aren't getting the right information, and we've seen that. And all these concerns about myocarditis, I mean, all of this has been well documented. Even the Democrats and the liberal media that were pretending like this didn't happen and none of these concerns existed. I think even Jon Stewart, the left-wing comedian, Jon Stewart, even pointed, or maybe it was Bill Maher, they were talking about how, you know, Facebook and Mark Zuckerberg openly admitted that they were not allowed to share anything, or they were being pressured not to allow people to share anything, any information critical of these so-called vaccines on Facebook. And even if it was documented factual information, they didn't want to allow anything to be entered into the public discussion.
Yes, that's right. So there was a massive censorship campaign that went on. And, you know, the Biden administration even came out and publicly bragged about spending $1.5 billion in a propaganda campaign to decrease vaccine hesitancy. And they particularly targeted certain groups, and Republican men were the most likely to not get the shot. And so they went after all of the American media, social media, Hollywood. You know, everybody was on board with pushing this campaign. And unfortunately, there was a lot of people that bought into the, I'm doing this for my loved ones. I'm doing it for my community. I'm doing it for my unborn baby. I'm doing it for my newborn baby. And some of those people ended up with very serious harms.
Yeah.
It's really unfortunate.
If they survived, right. I remember when we had a liberal caller from Great Falls. I got the shot. I got the shot to protect my neighbor. So when I go visit him, I don't give him COVID-19. And I told the caller at the time, I said, you do realize that just because you got the shot, you can still get COVID-19, right? They had no idea. They had no clue because they just believed everything that was shoved down their throats and shoved into their arm. You know, I was just like, my goodness. It was like, okay, if you're actually concerned about COVID-19, you're actually putting your neighbor at risk, maybe even at greater risk right now. But boy, you sure feel good about yourself. Aaron Laws, we've got just a couple of minutes left to go. And big thanks to you and Dr. Christie for joining us on the show. What do you want to tell our listeners across Montana, whether it's a call to action for House Bill 371 or maybe some of your other legislative priorities?
Yeah, thank you. We do. We really want to get the word out for everybody to please call their House representative on House Bill 371 and ask for their support. That phone number is 406-444-4800. And if you don't know who your representative is, the operator can help you figure that out and get a message to them. And a lot of people are concerned about our food supply as well with the mRNA vaccines that are coming out in animals. They're currently is a vaccine that's being used on swine, and we have the same concerns about that. And so we have a House bill coming up that is going to prohibit mRNA vaccines in animals, and that House bill is 418, so people can be looking for that. And we have our first committee hearing in the Ag Committee on February 20th. And so we're going to be doing the same call to action on that bill as well.
All right. Well, great to have you on the show. Thanks so much for freeing up some time for us. Dr. Christie, I've got about a little under a minute or so to go as well. Anything you want to share with our listeners?
No, just thank you so much for the time. And I would really appreciate if everybody, we have to do this together. This is a grassroots movement. If everybody would just take a few minutes to call their representative and ask them to support House Bill 371. And if you're interested in providing testimony for House Bill 418, we would appreciate that as well. You can do it online. And if you just go to legmt.gov, you can find instructions to participate.
All right. Well, thanks again for both of your time this morning. Go to Montana Medical Freedom Alliance. .org, the website there to link up with Aaron Laws and her crew of doctors and other healthcare professionals that are part of that team. And I know they've got healthcare professionals from across Montana that are involved in boosting their efforts. All right, back right after this, we're going to talk with Liam McCollum about the Defend the Guard Act in Montana. Are you?
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Is my microphone? There we go. Now my microphone's on. All right. I'm going to get to Liam McCollum here in just a second. But first, I want to play this clip. This is from Fox and Friends. Now, this had to be from, a couple years ago or so, because this is when this concept, I think, was first introduced. Some of you have heard of the Defend the Guard Act. It came up for conversation during the Montana legislative session 2 years ago. And, of course, this legislation has been reintroduced for this session as well. But, yeah, our friend Liam McCollum, first got a chance to have him on the show when we were broadcasting live from Missoula a few years ago. He was just a college student at the time, but had a great libertarian-oriented podcast and a Montana guy as well. But Liam sent me this video clip of now Secretary of Defense Pete Hegseth back when he was on Fox and Friends. And here's what Pete Hegseth said back then when it comes to the defense. I turned my phone up a little too much there. This is what he had to say when this idea of a Defend the Guard Act first came up.
This caught my eye. It's a really interesting development. Right now, this is New Hampshire only. And New Hampshire simply pointing out that it's supposed to be Congress that declares war. It has become an executive branch function. And as a result, unless the Congress declares war, New Hampshire doesn't have to send troops for foreign wars. To me, it makes a lot of sense. I spent most of my career as a National Guardsman, deployed multiple times with the National Guard to foreign wars. We got used to the idea that state National Guard are part of expeditionary forces, which is not traditionally the use of a National Guard. And so this is New Hampshire saying, we don't trust how the federal government's going to use our troops, so we're willing to commit them when the American people, through their elected branch in Congress, commits those troops to a foreign war, then you can. I love this idea. I'm sure the National Guard Bureau is, oh, no. Okay. I love states exerting their influence through a system of federalism and the idea of protecting the prerogative of why are we sending some young guy from New Hampshire to the eastern province of Afghanistan when you have a northern border problem or floods that happen in New Hampshire, and they're not there to be able to provide support for that.
Anyway, there you go. That was now Secretary of Defense Pete Hegseth. That was obviously from, probably at least a couple years ago. But anyway, yeah, thanks to Liam McCollum for sharing that clip with me a while back. Let me get him queued up here on our Teams conversation, our little, Zoom-style platform. And I might have to change my audio settings at least once or twice there. Yeah, Liam, hey, thanks for joining us here on Montana Talks. I don't know if you heard, I just played the soundbite from Pete Hegseth that you shared with me, I don't know, a couple weeks ago or so. So, Liam, great to have you back on the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me on again.
Yeah, and there I go. I don't know why. I just changed my settings and it came in garbled, but you should be good to go now. Tell us about the Defend the Guard Act that's been reintroduced in the Montana legislature. Is it the same legislation as the last session, or has it changed since that point?
So, yep, this bill is called the Defend the Guard Act, as you said. It's HB 404, and it has been introduced by Representative Lee Deming. The wording has changed a little bit to clarify that the only thing that this bill does is prevent the National Guard from being deployed to combat zones overseas. So it makes clear that all other federal functions and state functions of the National Guard are intact. The National Guard will be able to continue to engage in foreign training missions overseas, natural disaster recovery efforts, and things like that. But the real reason for this bill, the main thrust behind it is, as you know, the National Guard is sort of the backbone of the military currently, and it has been since 9/11. It was 45% of the entire fighting force during the global war on terror. It made up nearly 20% of all of the casualties. And most people, when they think of the National Guard, they think of it just as, you know, citizen soldiers that meet once a month and they rarely deploy. But that's not true. You reported on the fact that the Montana National Guard were deployed to Syria a couple of years ago, where they saw combat with ISIS. And I had friends on that deployment that were staged in Kuwait, and units from that deployment did indeed go over to Syria where they saw combat. And really, at the crux of this bill is constitutionalism. It's trying to rein in constitutional war powers. Representative Lee Deming is a former honor civics teacher, and he believes deeply, you know, that war powers should remain with Congress. James Madison, the father of the Constitution, said that the executive branch was the branch with the most power interested in war and the most prone to it. And our founders were very wise in trying to divide war powers and vest them in Congress. But unfortunately, Congress has abdicated this duty and has basically given the executive branch power to send our National Guard and our military and over 150 nations across the globe. Most people don't know what countries we're in or why we're fighting them. And our troops, you know, in the last few years have been operating in more than 65 countries. The National Guard has been engaged in about 7. And all of this has been done without a declaration of war. Congress hasn't declared war since World War II. And since 9/11, we have sort of entered a new era where the executive branch is very interested in adventurism and has used its authorization from 2001 after 9/11 as an excuse to go into many countries and target numerous groups. And this bill tries to crawl that back.
Hopefully with President Donald J. Trump being back in office, a lot of this forever war nonsense will start to come to a halt. As you point out, I think critics on the left and the right and libertarians like yourself, I think have gotten to this consensus that we've got to stop these forever wars. And, you know, Donald Trump was taking us down that path of stopping the forever wars his first term in office. But then, of course, 2020, Joe Biden ends up taking power in 2021. And, you know, and through his weak foreign policy, boom, it looks like another forever war gets launched with Ukraine and Russia and draining our bank accounts back here in the United States and causing all sorts of destruction. But again, hopefully President Trump's working to bring that to an end right now as well. But it's a point of criticism, which is like, okay, they keep getting all of our troops into all of these wars, but yet why don't they man up and actually declare it an actual war instead of these open-ended, you know, forever wars?
Yeah, and I think Ukraine is actually a perfect example of why a declaration of war is so important. You know, at the beginning of the war, everyone was sort of full bore, let's go in and win this thing. But as we saw, since the entire people were not behind it through their Congress, it has waged on and it has sort of become a meat grinder where now the American people are not fully committed. They were never really fully committed to send in troops. They were never fully committed to keep funding this conflict. And we see this with all of the conflicts. Afghanistan is a perfect example where we originally went in, we wanted to take out the Taliban, we wanted to go after Al-Qaeda, but after 20 years, we simply replaced the Taliban with the Taliban again. And yeah. So it kind of proves why a declaration of war is so important. You know, a declaration of war is the mechanism that signifies that the entire people are behind it. And with these wars, the people aren't. And I definitely do agree with President Donald Trump's foreign policy. You know, in his inauguration speech, he said that we will measure our success not just by the wars we win, but by the wars that we end and the wars we never begin. And I'm very grateful that Pete Hegseth has endorsed this legislation. There's a lot of fear mongering in the state that if we pass this bill, somehow that will mean that the federal government will be able to defund our National Guard. And I don't think that would be legal for them to do for many reasons. There's a lot of case law like South Dakota v. Dole or Perpich versus United States that I think prove that. But additionally, the Secretary of Defense supports this, and so does the current Director of National Intelligence. Thankfully, Tulsi Gabbard was just confirmed yesterday.
Didn't Senator Tim Sheehy endorse this? Did he speak out on this during the campaign? I can't recall.
Yep. So I met with Senator Sheehy at the Trump rally in Bozeman, and I spoke with him about this bill. And 2 days later, on a campaign stop in Miles City, he met with Representative Deming and on video endorsed it and gave one of the best defenses of it. And I was very grateful for that.
Yeah, very interesting, because I did just put a quick little Grok search just to see what it would pull up for me on, you know, the Montana version of the Defend the Guard Act and then some of the discussions at the national level. And so, I talked a little bit about some of the supporters and then some of the opponents as well. And I do remember the Montana Adjutant General of the Montana National Guard, Major General Ronick, came out and testified against the Defend the Guard Act during the last legislative session. And I haven't seen yet whether he's spoken out either for or against or is going to be neutral on it this time around. Liam McCollum, if you can, stand by. I got to take a quick break, but we'll come back to you right after this.
Your morning cup of Sean. This is the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
You know, when you watch the media freak out over all things Donald Trump, you would think that nothing great is happening. But you know what? Every day there's something new. Even little things. I saw today that, you know, the president could claw back $4.3 billion in unspent federal funds for this ridiculous California high-speed rail project, just as he froze $1 billion for the perpetually delayed and derailed project during his first term as president. The unspent federal funds conceivably could be subject to cancellation by a hostile Trump administration. This is in the Fresno Bee. It's not hostile. It's a boondoggle. It's a waste of taxpayer money, and it's time to cut your losses. This thing was supposed to be done a decade ago, for crying out loud.
The conservative underground meets later today on the Sean Hannity Show.
All right, you said bye-bye to big government, and you want limited government. You voted for that. Well, now it's time to trim the fat from big wireless. If you are still using the big carriers, Verizon, AT&T, T-Mobile, I ask, why are you doing that? Because my cell phone company, Pure Talk, a veteran-owned company, gives you the exact same service. They use the same cell towers. You get the same 5G network. You get better customer service. And they're based here in the U.S., and you pay half the price for the exact same thing. And that's right. There's simply no need to spend $85, $100 a month per person on your wireless bill. Not when you can get unlimited talk, text, 15 gigs of data with mobile hotspot for just $35 a month. And by the way, the average family of four saves about $1,000 a year with Pure Talk. Make the switch. You simply dial #250. You say the keyword, save now. Do it now. You save an additional 50% off your first month. That's #250, keyword, save now, from our friends at Pure Talk, America's wireless company.
It's February 13th, and this is your Fox Daily Snapshot. Today is National Tortellini Day, which are made from thin, fine pasta wrapped around delectable fillings of meat, ham, or cheese served with various sauces or soup. In 2017, President Donald Trump accepts the resignation of National Security Advisor Michael Flynn over his dealings with Russia. Actor Harrison Ford, known for Raiders of the Lost Ark and Star Wars, is involved in a near miss while flying a plane in 2017 at John Wayne Airport in Orange County. Also on this day in 2018, an Israeli police report recommends Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu be prosecuted on bribery, fraud, and breach of trust charges. In 1968, the United States sends 10,500 additional troops to Vietnam. U.S. Vice President Spiro Agnew hits two tee shots into the crowd while golfing, injuring two in 1971. I'm CJ Papa. That's your Fox Daily Snapshot.
Millions of Americans take medicine like Ozempic and Zepbound. Many of them are overpaying by
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, we got just a quick few minutes left here. Liam McCollum, very smart guy. Libertarian here in Montana, and one of the good libertarians, by the way. Some of these libertarians, at least they call themselves libertarians, I think are just Democrat Party plants. They're open borders liberals, and they get involved as libertarians to try to undermine Republicans and to try to undermine the conservative libertarian movement. But Liam is a solid guy, truly is passionate about these issues. Let me go back to Liam in a second. Let's sneak in a quick phone call, though. John in Great Falls, did you have a quick question or comment?
Yes, sir. I did have a comment. The reason that the National Guard is involved in the total force was because of what happened during Vietnam, when so many people joined the National Guard to avoid service in Vietnam. So after that, the DOD and the government got the Guard involved in any conflict. So
in a much bigger way,
about trying to get the National Guards to. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. But and that just brought, listening to your discussion, that brought that to my memory that. One of the things that happened during Vietnam is so many people avoided service. So
yeah, good point. Thanks for the call. Sorry we're short on time here, but yeah, I mean they're so reliant on an all volunteer force now because of the negative repercussions from the draft, et cetera. Liam McCollum, we got just a couple of minutes left here before we wrap up the hour. I would encourage people, hey, they can follow you on X at M. Liam McCollum. And then I'll try to get something on our Montana Talks website here as well. What else do you want to share with folks across Montana?
Yeah, I would just say this bill does not prohibit the National Guard from going to war ever. It is not saying that this will just remain a state militia. I think that built into the Constitution is the fact that the National Guard is supposed to be a federal and state entity. It's very unique in that way, in that it has a federal mission and a state mission. The only thing this bill does is require Congress to do its job beforehand. So for the last caller, I agree. I think that is the reason that we started to use the National Guard again. But unfortunately, we've been using them improperly. We've been using them in wars that we aren't willing to end. And Afghanistan is a perfect example of that. And I would just say, I think that this is very much in alignment with the America First foreign policy. I think a lot of people would rather have the National Guard here at home to, you know, defend our border. Governor Abbott was going to war basically with Biden over the National Guard when he tried to use his National Guard to erect razor wire along the southern border. And I think that that is a better function for the National Guard when we are currently being, you know, there's an argument under the Constitution we are being invaded, and that is one of the roles of the constitutional militia, is to protect against invasions. And so Donald Trump, he said on the campaign trail, he said, our country is being destroyed by a radical political class that sends our guardsmen and women to defend the borders of distant foreign nations while they surrender our own borders to an invasion right here at home, the likes of which we've never seen before. When I'm back in the White House, we will expel the warmongers, the profiteers, and take over our government, and we will restore world peace, and it will be peace through strength.
And boy, is he doing it. He's doing it. He's fulfilling that promise every single day. We're seeing movement in that right direction. That is for sure. Leah McCollum, great to have you on this show. In addition to your X account that I just shared, how else can folks follow you or listen in on some of your great insight and commentary?
Yeah, just follow me on X, and make sure if you support this bill to contact your legislators and encourage them to support this. If you want to look into the bill more, go to defendtheguard.us. And again, it's HB 404.
All right, Leah McCollum, appreciate your time. Thanks so much for being with us. And I'll have to see if the adjutant general might want to join us to talk about it as well, because I also understand the concerns. I mean, relevant and ready. That's what they're all about. And they want to be relevant and they want to be ready. And so there's always concerns that it could undermine that. But overall, we've got to rein in these forever wars. So, Liam, I appreciate your time. Thanks for being with us.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
Too many people, including some who should know better, describe international trade flows as if they were like plumbing and water pipes. That's not just oversimplifying, it's misleading. And it takes more than a few breaths of air to explain why. One of the most important differences between economic flows between countries and those of liquids and pipes is the different currencies involved. When we buy imports from foreigners, they receive the dollars we pay them, which they can then use to buy the exports we sell. When those flows are not in balance, as the trade deficit of the U.S. demonstrates, that leaves excess dollars in the hands of foreigners. What happens at that point is varied, and it has nothing to do with plumbing. Too many dollars make them cheaper, yielding a weaker dollar. But the most common use of excess dollars is to invest them in American capital. In fact, a trade deficit can only be maintained if the so-called capital account surplus goes with it. It's a beneficial side of trade deficits that few people notice. I'm Patrick Barton.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.